Sheldon Day here, your host of the Light of Day radio show. Are you looking for the best alternative news network on the market? Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Real news, real talk, real people, and no BS. With featured hosts including Greg Szymanski, Mark Stevens, Webster Tarpley, Kevin Barrett, Dr. Nick Begich, Greg Szymanski, Frank Whalen, Dylan Avery, Frosty Wooldridge, Robbie Noel, Rick Adams, Derry Brownfield, Jack McLamb, and a whole lot more. Now's the time to wake up, folks. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and check out Real Talk, Real News, Real People, and No BS. Today, coming to you on the Edge Broadcasting Network. This is show number 12. We're live. It's Wednesday evening, May 16th, 2007. I don't know if the show was sabotaged tonight or not, folks. I had gone to Kevin Smith's website before my show started to listen to his show. And if you're out there, Kevin, I wanted you to know that you have a pop-up advertisement on your on your Listen Live page where it shows you can either click on broadband or dial up for listening. And my computer was acting somewhat slowly after I clicked on that advertising that pops up on that page. Now, I did have my pop-up blocker turned on, so just wanted you to be aware of that situation. If you're out there listening, Janet, I'm going to be calling you here in a few minutes. I want to finish up on my weather warfare stuff. This information is overwhelming, folks. You need to get your butt in the books and do some research, because the evidence for weather modification is overwhelming. And for any of you detractors out there that don't believe it, hey, you can go stick it where the sun don't shine for all I care. This show ain't about getting folks to like me or whatever, you know. I had one guy at my work tell me, "Well, you know, you sound like you're talking and you stutter and then you talk." It ain't about how I sound, folks. It's about the message that counts. And Albert Einstein once said, "Condemnation of the messenger, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance." And he was really right with that statement. It ain't about how somebody sounds. It's the truth that matters. It's more important than anything. So I don't give a damn what anybody thinks about me. And if anybody out there listening is tampering with this show right now and showing that I only have like one or two people listening to my show and that's not really the case, hey, I'm going to continue talking. I don't give a damn who's out there playing around with this show, okay? It's going to continue. You can try to shut me down. It ain't going to work. I'm going to keep broadcasting the truth until I die, period. Back to the article, HARP to install 516 more antennas. This is out of Fort Worth, Texas, February 7th, 2005. Phaser Corporation announced that Antenna Products Corporation in Mineral Wells, Texas, a wholly owned subsidiary, was awarded a $3.7 million firm fixed-price subcontracted from BAE Systems, ATI, for the production of 270 low-band antenna matching unit assemblies and 346 high-band antenna matching unit assemblies. The equipment will be manufactured at Antenna Product Corporation's plant in Mineral Wells, Texas, and deliveries are scheduled to begin in June of 2005 and continue monthly through September 2005. The equipment will be shipped to the HARP Project research site near Gakona, Alaska, the site of the recently completed installation of an array of 132 cross-dipole antennas built in and installed by Antenna Products Corporation in 2004. As the result of this order, Antenna Products Corporation's backlog of orders as of February 4, 2005 was approximately $6 million. Information on Phasar Corporation is available on the internet webpage at phasar.com. That's P as in Paul, H as in Henry, A as in Apple, Z as in Zebra, A as in Apple, R as in Robert.com, and at antennaproducts.com. Let's see, I'm just trying to make sure I have the article completed before I press forward here. DARPA also provided the money in Project Argus, which was a project to cause and detect earthquakes. Just wanted to throw that in quick. I don't really have much information on it, but if you want to do some research, that's Project Argus, which was a project in ways to cause and detect earthquakes. Mark Filterman, a former French military officer. Now, this is a quote from another high-ranking government official, folks, about weather modification. Mark Filterman, a former French military officer, outlined several types of unconventional weapons used in radio frequencies. Mr. Filterman referred to weather war, indicating that the U.S. and the Soviet Union had already mastered the know-how needed to unleash sudden climate changes such as hurricanes and drought back in the early 1980s. These technologies make it possible to trigger atmospheric disturbances by using extremely low-frequency radar waves. A simulation study of future defense scenarios commissioned for the Air Force calls for U.S. aerospace forces to own the weather by capitalizing on emerging technologies and focusing development of those technologies to warfighting applications. So, you know, the military is always going to come out, folks, and say, oh, this is to fight the enemy. But you know who the enemy really is? It's us. It's the American population destined for enslavement and eradication off the planet. These people have in their own plans I believe it's somewhere around. It's a pretty high number, folks. It would start you a lot. You know, I'm not a walking dictionary here. I can't remember the exact figure, but it's something like 90% of the planet, okay? In the United States, weather modification will likely become a part of national security policy with both domestic and international applications. Just a reminder, the HARP project in Alaska is part of a new generation of sophisticated weaponry under the U.S. Strategic Defensive Initiative, also known as Star Wars. But it was renamed, it's no longer called Star Wars or SDI, it's now called the Ballistic Missile Defense Organization. Operated by the Air Force Research Lab Space Vehicles Directorate, HARP constitutes a system of powerful antennas capable of creating controlled local modifications of the ionosphere. This information goes on and on. Again, we're being attacked from all directions, folks. You know, when it comes to issues like mind control, weather modification, vaccinations, these are all silent weapons for quiet wars is what they are. And you can go to Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse, to read about silent weapons for quiet wars. And that's what these are, folks. And then we're going to be bringing Janet Phelan on my show here in just a minute or two to discuss water being utilized as a weapon against the American population. Well, what better way to herd people off to the concentration camps is there than to introduce a deadly mixture of poisons into our water supply to kill us off slowly, right? No public manifestation of people being herded off to concentration camps. So this may be yet another silent weapon for their quiet wars being orchestrated on us. I may end up doing a part three next week on weather modification. I'm sure I can find more stuff on it. This stuff just doesn't end, folks. For any of you folks out there that don't think weather modification's a reality, get your nose to the books. Most definite. Again, one more quote here from a high-ranking official of government before I bring Janet Phelan on. Back in the 1970s, former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski had foreseen in his book Between Two Ages. Again, that's the former National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's quoted as saying in the book, "Technology will make available to the leaders of major nations techniques for conducting secret warfare." There's the silent weapons for quiet wars, folks. "Of which only a bare minimum of the security forces need to be appraised. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm." There's just another confirmation that weather modification is a reality. We're going to bring Janet Phelan on the line now. I'm going to dial her up here. You're listening to The Light of Day coming to you on the Edge Broadcasting Network. We're live Wednesday evening, May 16th, 2007.
Hello.
Hello, Janet. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, is this Sheldon?
Yeah. Hello.
Hold on a second, okay?
Okay, folks, hang on.
Hold on. Okay, Marianne, I got to go with him, all right?
Okay, we're going to be bringing Janet Phelan on the show now.
Hello,
Janet.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the Light of Day show. I'm just going to read a quick text document on your case here before I bring you on. Did you get my email today I had sent you?
I was off the computer by noon, and I didn't know.
Okay, because I had sent you four emails today.
What time?
They were in the earlier mid-afternoon, I believe.
And what time zone are you in?
Pacific.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get them, Sheldon.
Okay, well, anyway, I'll read
it. Actually, I checked back in on the computer. I just blanked on that. I was actually on the computer about 3, because I went back on for an hour, and I didn't get them. I'm having some problems with emails. I'm having some weird things going on. So, anyway, so what did you send me, and how can I respond to you?
Well, I had just sent you information on how to tune into the show and what I had put out in my email list about your case, and
mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is a quick text document. I want to read to the audience here.
Okay.
This is a public extermination project, folks. A specific public works project became classified following 9/11. This project, which has been ongoing throughout the U.S., has lethal capabilities for innocent U.S. citizens. In August of 2004, quietly and without fanfare, an article was published on the Los Angeles Independent Media website revealing a plan by the U.S. government to depopulate the country via the water system, and it goes on and on. I'm going to let Janet discuss more of this. Anyway, go ahead, Janet. Welcome to the Light of Day show.
Thank you very much, Sheldon. I'm talking to you from Sandpoint, Idaho, and I, after the publication of Public Extermination Project, I went ahead and did more research. I felt that the first article was suggestive only, that there was something funny going on, and that I might be able to get more documentation to really nail this down. Because what we have here is a very scary situation. I'd like to provide a little context here first. I'm sure that for a lot of your listeners, I'll be preaching to the choir here, but some people who might be tuning in might not understand, you know, what in the world is going on with water or with killing in this country. 9/11 could be viewed as a kind of high-tech Reichstag fire. The Reichstag fires in Hitler's Germany were staged by Hitler. He burnt down his own parliament and then blamed it on the communists. He had his own troops burn down the German parliament. He blamed it on the communists, and he did this in order to create synthetic terror, which is a Webster Tarpley's term. And this enabled him to start stripping away people's rights. Now, we have seen this duplicated in the United States since the event of 9/11. We have lost many, if not most, of our privacy rights. We have, you know, we can't even check out a book in the library now without knowing that the FBI can come in and, you know, check out what we have, rather check on what we have checked out. That is surveillance to a degree that we did not have in this country prior to 9/11. But unfortunately, the right stripping has gone quite a bit further. We have reports of unusual deaths. Many scientists have died under unusual circumstances. We have reports of torture going on. We seem to have changed almost overnight from a free society to an ostensibly fascist one. One of the things that was a result of 9/11 was the Patriot Act. That was rammed through Congress very shortly after the events of 9/11. It had already been written. It was waiting in the wings. And embedded in the Patriot Act is an extremely disturbing section, and that is Section 817, which is the expansion of the biological weapons statute. And it's my contention that 817 is authorizing what I have been researching about the water system. Now, to look at 817 for a moment, what they are essentially saying in 817 is the legalization of delivery systems and toxins under certain circumstances. Delivery systems is weapons terminology. Toxins are poisons. And what the statute is talking about is when not will these delivery systems and toxins be legal. Now, this is kind of strange because, as we know, toxins, poisons, they're not very healthy. In fact, they could be deadly. But there's no talk in 817 about you know, this being a punishment for a crime. You know, you get these toxins because you committed murder or something. There's nothing about that whatsoever. They're just simply saying that these shall be legal when used for purposes, and I'm quoting here, determined as peaceful, protective, prophylactic, or bona fide research. So if you just forget about research for a moment, we're looking at the legalizing of peaceful, protective poisoning. And that's what 817 says. When I found this, I kind of made my eyes bug out, and I ran it by a number of lawyers, National Lawyers Guild lawyers and other progressive lawyers, and they said, you know, I think you're right. I think they're basically legalizing killing people by poisoning them. Now,
yeah, this information you've come across is just incredible. I haven't come across it anywhere, and I've been into this New World Order stuff since the early 1990s. This hasn't even been mentioned on the Alex Jones show, has it?
No. There have been a number of people who have contacted Alex Jones. I have heard myself on the air, you should get Janet Phelan on the air. Well, I did get this information to Alex, and I was contacted by his wife, Violet. She wanted me on the show, and then I never heard from them again.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of rumors floating around out there that he's not really on our side, Alex Jones, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you know, I don't like to criticize other people who are doing some good work, and Alex is doing some good work. I do know that this is a top-secret weapon.
Oh, don't get me wrong. He's doing a damn good job, but I believe he does hold back on some things.
Right. Well, people sometimes hold back on things for varied reasons. They may hold back because they're frightened, or they may hold back because, you know, they're working for somebody else and they said don't touch that. There are a lot of reasons, and I don't like to speculate on that. I will say that when I finally did speak to somebody in Alex's circle as to why he, you know, I was invited on the show and then dropped, is I was told that Alex said that he was afraid he'd be sued. I found that a little strange, given his, you know, kind of in-your-face way of handling things. And I will certainly say that nobody has been sued who has put me on the air. And Alex is listening. Hey, we got to get more coverage to this story because it's extremely serious. What 817 is authorizing here is a mass genocide. That's it. It's a mass poisoning project. Now, what I understand here is that 817 is an umbrella statute. It may be authorizing a number of projects, and I'm certainly aware of at least two others that could be considered poison projects. But I have focused my research on the water system because of the pervasiveness of this project and the fact that it appears to be in every city and state in this country and therefore may affect people on a scale that is simply mind-boggling. What they have done here with the water system is they have reconfigured it in such a way that it can basically function as a weapon system, but a finely honed and selective weapon system. And they have done this basically through the instituting of double lines in the streets. One has water, one has the toxins. There are certain valves at strategic points which would release the toxins into one house, maybe skip by the next house, maybe skip by the whole next street, do the whole next street. They can pick and choose. Now, this may sound like crazy, okay? This may sound like somebody's wild science fiction fantasy, but this is, unfortunately, what our government has put into play. The double lines, I have gotten blueprints now from such disparate venues as Los Angeles and Spokane, Washington, and we have the double line system in place in both venues. Now, if you go to the website to look at the article, and the title of the article is Water as a Weapon, if you check out that, you will see I have put photographs and documentation along with the article. You will see in the photographs of the blueprints of Los Angeles and Spokane, you will see those double lines. Now, there are certain other things that have to be configured about this system to make it work this way. The double lines have to have access lines running back and forth between them at regular intervals so that the toxins in the one line can get into the access lines to go into your house. Let's say they want you, Sheldon, okay? They have to have an access line running pretty much from the toxin line into the water line to get into your house. And if you look at the Spokane blueprints on the site, that's exactly what they have. The other thing is that they will have to have valves that will control valves that would open and shut to control the release of the toxins into the water line. These valves would need to be remote controlled. Now, this got really kind of interesting when I began to research this aspect of it. I made some mistakes in my first article, The Public Extermination Project. I was completely new to reporting on plumbing. I made some errors. It's very unfortunate that I did, because I'm dealing with very serious information. And, you know, I have a lot of detractors. I got a lot of people out there who want to say, you know, don't listen to her. She's crazy. And when you make mistakes, they are definitely used against you. But I do believe that in the second publication, Water as a Weapon, I have corrected the errors, and I've sufficiently answered the questions that people might have raised concerning the first article.
Yeah, and for any of you folks out there that doesn't, that doubts what Janet's saying, you can go to my homepage and click on Janet's May article right there, and it'll take you to her most updated article.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate you doing this, Sheldon. I really appreciate you putting me on the air about this, because the only way that I can see that this will be derailed is if we reach critical mass and enough people know about this and start yelling and screaming. And right now, there aren't enough people yelling and screaming about this. And with the non-forthcomingness of media in terms of addressing this issue, we won't find out. And if we don't find out, we're going to be blindsided. And that's exactly what I'm trying to keep from happening.
Well, you're most certainly welcome, Janet. We're up against the bottom of the hour commercial break. I'll patch you into the commercial music, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Great.
Okay, so folks, you're listening to The Light of Day, coming to you live from the low desert in Tucson, Arizona. This is show number 12. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
When life presents such possibilities each and every day, I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Show me the way. Please show me. The sun rose high and burnt the night away. Who stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't treat me this way.
I'd rather die than be.
The automation software has screwed up on me again, folks. We'll be coming up to our next piece here on the commercial in about 20 seconds. Just stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day.
This is Anthony J. Hilter, and you're listening to The Light of Day. Sheldon, my friend, and your host who brings you this broadcast, like hundreds of other patriots around the country, aren't doing it for the money. It costs them money to buy this time. They do this freely. They want to save this country. Your family's freedom and our world. Sheldon and my friend Starr want you to know that 911 was an inside job. If you're beginning to believe that World Trade Center attack was orchestrated by Osama bin Bush and the boys from the Brotherhood of Death rather than Osama bin Laden and some 19 Arabs, some of whom couldn't even drive a car, then you'll want to see and hear my film, 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. By doing this, you'll get the rest of the story. Call Star at 661-323-0015. Between 10 and 10. So write it down. Call Star at 661-323-0015 for the rest of the story, the true story on 911 and more.
We'll be right back.
folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day. Coming to you live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. This is show number 12, and we're on the line right now talking to Janet Fallon, who's located up in Sandpoint, Idaho. Are you still there, Janet?
Yes, I'm here, but I'm here as Janet Fallon, not Janet Fallon, but that's okay. Yep, I'm still here.
Is it Fallon?
No, it's Fallon.
Fallon, oh, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, just continue with what you were talking about then.
Sure will. I was talking about remote-controlled valves and how remote-controlled valves would be necessary for the system. And the reason it would be necessary, first of all, you've got a mixing capabilities on the main lines. You have double lines. You have to have access from the poison line onto the regular line. It has to be, you have to open valves in order to flood, you know, the system that you want to be targeted with the toxins. So you will need valves to do so.
And she's got pictures of these valves, folks, in case you doubt it.
Yeah, I do. I have pictures of them. I have quite a few more pictures than are actually what I put on the website. I'm actually overflowing with pictures. Now, these valves would have to be remote controlled because we are not going to be, our government is not going to be dispatching workers at the time of deployment. They're not going to dispatch workers all over the country to dig up the streets and suddenly turn the valve at your house. I think that would be so suspicious that people would realize there's a big problem here.
No, it's like everything else they're doing. It's all gradualism, incrementalism. This will be done over a period of time and eventually activated in the future. That's what I believe.
Well, they're almost done with the work, apparently. I'm concerned that they may be working for deployment in 2008. I'm really concerned because they are finishing work on this in Los Angeles this month. Los Angeles is one of the largest and most spread out cities in our country, and they're finishing this work in May of 2007. That's this month of this year. Now, one of the errors in the first article was that the work began after 9/11. It did not begin after 9/11. This work, and this is shocking, this work began back in the 70s.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Well,
it has been going on for decades. It was going on under quote-unquote democratic regimes. So apparently the little bit of research I did here in Sandpoint indicated to me that this work in Sandpoint was done by 82. So it looks to me as if a lot of the smaller towns were done early on. The larger cities that, you know, require a lot more work were simply done incrementally. And it looks to me like we may be getting pretty close to deployment now. Now, 2008, we're heading into an election year. We're heading into a possible regime change. Now, with the people who have cemented their power at this point in time, you know, through the finessing of the votes, the Diebold voting machines, I don't think they want to get out of power. And if there were a national emergency, like some kind of, you know, mass death, this would result possibly in the suspension of elections.
And here we
and
got
we
President
would have King George forever.
Here we got President Bush last week coming out with Presidential Decision Directive 51, which authorizes the White House to be in charge during the continuity of government plan during a national emergency. So they're essentially going to have the White House run the country instead of the Homeland Security Department now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the difference? I'm sorry. That's not kind. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go back a little bit more to the plumbing, okay? Because I want the plumbing understood because this is the technical aspect here. So they've got these remote control valves. Now, the first thing that happened when I began to ask questions about remote control valves is I met with blanket denial. I interviewed back in 2006 in March. I interviewed Ali Sabuni. Now, Ali Sabuni is the resident engineer for the Ardmore Street Project, which is one of the sections they were doing in Los Angeles where they were putting in these remote control valves. And he stated to me, he stated it on tape, there is no such thing as a remote controlled water valve. Now, this man has a master's degree in engineering. He is in charge of this project, and he's saying there is no such thing. Now, any person who knows how timed sprinkler systems operate understands that there are such things as remote-controlled water valves. So when I brought that particular thing up to Mr. Saboni, he didn't quite know how to deal with that. He said, oh, well, those are small valves. Well, he just basically contradicted himself. There's no such thing as remote-controlled water valves except for small valves. Well, if there are small valves, then there can be larger valves, Mr. Saboni. So that was one of the lies. Another one of the lies, which is on the website, is in a letter signed by Ronald Deaton, who is the general manager of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. And he's saying in that letter, we're not using remote-controlled water valves. Well, some of those valves that I photographed had chalked-in numbers on them. And when I brought this to the attention of the street workers, you know, who are basically clueless about what they're doing. They're just, you know, replacing pipes and valves. They don't understand that there might be something nefarious going on. They said, oh, those are the RFID addresses. There are chips in these valves. Here, let me show you where the chips are. I said, really, these are the same valves that Ronald Eaton says we don't use remote control valves, okay? So they say, yeah, here are the chips. They're right down here. And I said, really, so where are they controlled from? They said, well, we're not sure. It's like there's a central location somewhere, okay? So the guys on the street, you know, the grunt workers who were making their union wages and just putting in pipes and valves, they'll tell you the truth. The bureaucrats, the ones who are controlling and the higher levels of power, they won't tell you the truth. According to them, there's no such thing as a remote-controlled water valve. So this is what we're dealing with here. And I'd like to say a little bit about the manufacturer of some of these valves. They're several companies, apparently, that are manufacturing them, and one of them is U.S. Pipe. Now, if you look at the, and this is also in the article. The article, once again, is Water as a Weapon. The officers of U.S. Pipe, they've had a very strange career path. The president of U.S. Pipe, whose name is Ray Torek, previously spent 25 years at Alcoa as vice president and general manager of the aerospace division. Walter Nolenberg, who is the vice president of finance and treasurer of U.S. Pipe, previously served as vice president of finance and chief financial officer of Burns Aerospace Corporation. So we have all these guys who worked possibly with spy satellites, because that's a lot of what goes on with these aerospace corporations and their government contracts. We have them going from spy satellites to plumbing. Now,
that's an interesting connection.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. Now, let me explain why that's important. Because these valves are satellite controlled. And I found this out. I was doing some web research, and I came across this website. It's called the ROM Communications. And they have a website, and they've got a diagram there, and I concluded this as part of the documentation, which shows, it's their web to wireless, and it shows how you can initiate a command off like a cell phone or a laptop or a computer, how it goes into the Internet, and according to the diagram, it's going up to the satellite, then on the left-hand side, it has the remote assets, what you are controlling or influencing from this command off a computer into the Internet up to the satellite, and lo and behold, they've got a picture of a water valve there. So these engineers who say either there's no such thing as a remote-controlled water valve or we don't use these, this is belied by fact. We have the RFID addresses, and there are some valves on the website with the pictures I put there with the RFID addresses on them. We have a company which is involved in creating the technology, ROM, to influence these from, you know, cell phones and laptops and end up controlling water valves off these satellites. But the people in power are saying, we don't do that. We can't do that. There's no such thing. Now, when people are lying about something that is technologically not only feasible but obviously in play, given what they're doing at ROM, then you have to ask why they're lying about technology. Are they lying because they're going to do something really bad? And I'm saying, oh, yes, they are. And I'm saying the only way that we are going to protect ourselves from these poisonous monsters is by letting everybody know. Because if we reach critical mass, and if we get to a point that everybody goes, hey, they're going to mess with the water, they're going to kill us, then we're dealing with a situation where people are really woken up, not waking up. They're woken up to the reality of the extremely deadly situation we're finding ourselves in.
I believe here, I'm looking at your latest update, what is it, May 4th of this year. You have attachment 5 here that shows this letter you got from the Public Works Department in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said they couldn't say anything for security reasons. Were you able to get that subpoenaed?
At this point, I have not been able to at this point. I was working with a paralegal up here in Sandpoint, Idaho, and we were planning on taking the city of Santa Monica to court to subpoena these. And something very unusual, I'm not sure, something happened with Steve David. He, like a lot of us up here in Sandpoint, in the area, we're not really moneyed up here, and he was hitching into town to go to the library to work on the computer, and he got picked up by some guys in an SUV who identified themselves as federal officers, and they wanted to have a little talk with him about what he was doing for Janet Phelan. And, you know, he'd been working kind of hard on this. We were getting ready to, you know, hit him with a lawsuit, and he's, you know, he's pretty smart guy, Steve David. And after that little conversation, and he did write, he did put it, he committed it to a letter that he was picked up by feds who wanted to talk to him about what he was doing with me. He kind of just stopped working on it.
Oh, there's a letter you ought to get posted.
Well, I still have it. Well, he just stopped working. And, you know, I kind of hung around for another couple months, like, hey, Steve, can we get this done? It just wasn't getting done. So we severed our working relationship because it wasn't getting done. If we could get the city of Santa Monica, the city of Spokane, the city of Los Angeles, the city of Tucson, if we could get these cities into court, we might be able to heighten public awareness about this and also possibly get the records that would completely expose the utterly nefarious plans to depopulate here. Now, I want to stress the fact that this is a targeting system. When they deploy this, it's not going to happen to everybody. It may happen to you. It may happen to me. It may happen to Joe Frank down the street, but it may not happen to a lot of people because what they have done is configure this so they can release the toxins into pre-selected houses. And that's one of the functions of the RFID addresses chalked in so they know which address goes to which valve. It's a very nasty thing. It's going to make Jonestown look like a walk in the park.
Wow. Now, I also see here, May 19th of last year, you did an interview on the BBC radio network called A Fireside Chat, and I listened to that interview, and you had mentioned that you were able to retrieve some of this water, and you had it sent to a lab for analysis. What was the conclusion on it?
Oh, well, this has been very strange. Actually, it was BBS radio. It was not BBC. Okay. I got some of this to a chemist friend. He did some preliminary tests that showed some skewedness in some of the values that one would normally expect with water. The lab that he works for is a is not a full-service high-tech lab, and he was not able to complete the task. And he also, I would say, we have some religious differences. He believes that you know, what, he has a sense of fatalism, and he believes that we should not, that this is all godly ordained, and we should not interrupt any of this. And, you know, so there's some real fundamental Christian beliefs that he has.
Yeah, like weather modification. Just like weather modification, always blame it on God. It's an act of God.
Well, you know, it's definitely an act of someone, but I would not say that that God is up there trying to figure out how to hurt us and poison us and destroy us.
Yeah, what kind of God is that, right?
What kind of God is that? Now, I would say that there are people who do stuff like that, but I would not ascribe that to God. So we had some religious differences about, you know, I'm very action-oriented. I'm certainly... I certainly believe in God. Very, very, very. It is the cornerstone of my life. But I don't believe my God does not tell me, well, just sit back and let it happen because I'm a poisoner. That's not my God. So I also contacted a number of labs, and I've gotten blanket refusals. As soon as I say, well, it's a water sample, you know, I want to test for possible toxins, they're saying no, we won't do it. Sorry, we're government. We got government funding. We can't do this. Now, I'd like to say something else about water testing. There is a woman, a PhD chemist, whose name was Geetha Ongara. She was a water chemist in Passaic, New Jersey. And a couple of years ago, she was murdered at work. She was in a position where she would be testing water samples. Geetha Ongara's murder, which is one of a number, I mentioned earlier on that a number of scientists have been murdered under this administration and the Clinton administration. These are generally unsolved murders. Geetha Ongara's murder is an unsolved murder. Her body was found dumped into a tank at work. Now, it's very possible that Geetha Ongara had stumbled upon some information that might have some relevance to this. It's also possible that, you know, as a water employee, that she knew something and had an attack of conscience. There are many things that are possible, but we will never know because Geetha Ongara's murder is another unsolved murder.
Was she considered a biochemist?
She was a chemist.
Two or three years ago, I heard Steve Quayle on his show is always talking about all these missing and murdered biochemists.
Right, he is. Right. Biochemists working on government projects would very likely have access to information that would lead one in the direction of understanding the real genocidal, scientifically oriented genocidal thrust that is going on in our country. If you look at the projects that these biochemists and other scientists that Steve Quayle lists, if you look at the projects they were working on, they generally cluster around certain issues. There are a number working on the Human Genome Project. Now, there are some things going on with genetic modification and targeting people's DNA that I have some information about. Well, I'm sure that those scientists might have had quite a bit more. The number of the murders have ended up with people working on that project, also on Mad Cow. Mad Cow is another project that results in, you know, a very short lifespan if you're a scientist. Geetha Ongara is the only death that I am aware of that happened to murder, should I say, of a scientist that might have had access to water information that might have shown something rather nefarious.
Now, on your interview on the Fireside Chat over on, what is it, BBC Radio?
BBS.
Or BBS.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that your mother died under mysterious circumstances also. Is that linked with this at all, this issue?
It is linked with the issue. It's linked in a... It's linked. This would take an awful lot of time to discuss, Sheldon. It would take a long time to discuss. It's not particularly mysterious to me. My mother, there was a hit on my mother. My mother's name was Dr. Emily Phelan, and the hit, there's a multifaceted reason for my mother's demise. Part of it was as retaliation against my father, who was an investigative reporter and was just, he just stepped into the middle of everything. He was a Kennedy assassination researcher. He was involved in derailing Richard Nixon's bid for the California gubernatorial seat. He wrote extensively about J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, and he was a real fearless, kind of tough reporter. And he just kind of kept barging into things and screwing things up for some people who wanted certain things to happen in certain ways. And my father passed away in 97. He was 85. He had lung cancer. And in 2000, the FBI showed up, and things began to get really pretty bad for my mother. But there are some other reasons for what happened to my mother. And my mother was Jewish. And I have consistently said, and I am not the sole voice saying this, I understand that Barry Chalmers is also very concerned about the undercurrent of anti-Semitism that is rising up everywhere. I am maintaining that this water project is part one of the groups that will be targeted by this are the Jews. And there are not many people at this point in time who are stating this. There's been a lot of anti-Semitism. A lot of this is linked to perceptions of the Zionist state of Israel, which is behaving absolutely horrifically. People are getting confused between the activities of governments and blaming it on the population. And I think that that the Zionist state of Israel is the government of the U.S. acting in contrary to the best interests of its people. But what happened to my mother swirled my life, which was a very ordinary and kind of non-politically interested life. It swirled me into a maelstrom of black ops attempts to silence me, to just a targeting situation that, you know, pretty much knocked my socks off. So basically what I decided was I was going to devote my time and my energy to trying to make a difference as things are just swirling down the toilet in our country. And I do it in the memory of my mother, who was a magnificent and wonderful human being.
And how long ago did she pass away then?
2004.
Oh.
She was kidnapped. It's a long story. Maybe sometime you might want me to discuss it more extensively. I think we're kind of getting off the point here.
I'll definitely have you back sometime. We're up against the top of the hour here. I wanted to thank you for being on the show tonight. And did you want to give out your website or email?
I'd like to give out my email. My email is janetcphelan@yahoo.com. That's Janet. P as in poison, H as in Helen, E-L-A-N. So that's JanetCPhelan@yahoo.com. I will respond to all emails concerning questions about this. I say that sometimes lately I don't get my emails, but if I get it, I'll respond to it. And I'm very concerned that we're perched on the edge of deployment. I'm very concerned that we don't have much time left. And I so appreciate you giving me the opportunity to discuss this and get the word out, Sheldon.
No problem, Janet. Thanks for being on the show. And if anything should happen to you ever, you're always being my archives for people to listen to what you had to say. So thanks again for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Have a good night, Janet.
You too.
Okay, folks, coming into the break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is.
The sightings could be explained through conventional means, but many of the sightings were unexplained.
From Dan Aykroyd, a recognized authority on UFOs.
People spoke about this urge they had to go out at 3 in the morning and look up into the sky.
Three amber orbs now at a distance far west on the horizon.
Strategic Air Command went on alert, DEFCON 3, which means that our nuclear forces were ready.
I think half of the American people, with the proper evidence, would be ready to accept.
Probably moved 100 miles in a matter of a second.
It was a metallic disc. And that's when I realized all three of us were looking at something extraordinary.
Five unidentified objects were picked up on radar coming in over the Pacific Northwest.
12,000 people shared these mass sightings.
Looks like you got an object right in front of you, Mark. Can you look out there?
There should be no debate anymore. UFOs exist.
Challenging the misconceptions.
They photographed 11 unidentified objects.
Discovering the realities.
They were hovering for minutes.
Of what may be.
A massive, miles high.
The most important question.
The incident almost ignited a nuclear war.
Facing human civilization today. An authoritative inquiry into the UFO phenomenon.
We are dealing with beings who have advanced technology on us.
Probe the mind of Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs.
Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. A new era.